Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Podcast. Today, we will be reacting to the ban list and discussing all of that and the meta implications that come from it. But today, first, we have to get paid. So let's thank all of our wonderful sponsors. A huge thank you to Steel Fox Games as well as ETB Games. And of course, those are my two locals. You can check them out down below. And of course, be sure to check out all of our affiliate links, which are in the description down below. We have discount codes for all of them, except for TCG Player. That is just a regular affiliate link. You can just click them before you shop, put on our little discount code. It's usually Top Cut 5, or the one for Jim is Top Cut Podcast 10, but everything else is Top Cut 5. And you can go ahead and use that code on Tier Zero Games. You can use it with Jim Accessories, Chainlink TCG Grimoire Accessories, and I'm definitely missing one. Dragon Shield, that's it. Of course, be sure to check all of those out, and thank you all for your continued support, and thank you, of course, to all of our patrons for their continued support of the podcast, and I am here with my co-host, Mr. Trishula TTV. How are you?
Tired.
I feel that, dude. I've worked so many hours this week. I'm already over, like, 50, or not 50, I'm, like, 40 to 45 this week in, like, 4 days.
Yeah, I've still just been, like, trying to sleep off DC Cub. I think... In the past, like, 4 days, I've slept for, like, 30 or 40 hours. Like, I've just been sleeping, like, all day, every day.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, just in the last 4 days, you've slept as much as you did in one day on the DC Cup. That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, how are you feeling now that the rankings have been finalized on the DC Cup?
Not bad. I mean, like, I moved up in the rankings. I was originally like 78th and now I'm like 57th. So that's not too bad. Still hungry for the top 10 though.
At least you get more points though. They gave you like 20 extra spots. So
yeah. Yeah. 500 season points. It's something.
Yeah. It's a lot better than, outside of the top 100.
Right, because that is no points.
Yeah,
that is literally 0 points.
And all you cheaters in the DC Cup. That's right, they got you. They got like dozens of you. Yeah, 20, literally 20 bozos just punted out of the competition. Amazing. So
I don't know if they were knocked out from being cheaters or if they were just like. A few of their games hadn't been calculated yet.
Oh, you think it might just be like a tabulation thing rather than like a...
That's usually what it is.
Oh, okay. Well, still, if there were any cheaters in there, get wrecked, bozo.
Yeah. I still wonder about the guy who was hacking. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter, but there was one guy who was hacking who was just like infinite stalling people with like a game that could not time out. I kind of wonder where he ended up.
It says you got refunded your points in games you lost to a cheater. That's what a chatter said.
Oh, that's weird.
So I guess they took the cheater, And anybody they found that was cheating, they just found everybody they played against and gave them all a win. So it seems your rank might have gone up because of points that you got back from that.
I didn't see a message about that. I'm interested now. You can continue with what with the next order of business, but I'm going to pull up Master Duel and see if I actually increased the number of points that I got.
Yeah, I'm not sure because that's what a chatter is telling me now. Can you trust a chatter? I don't know, but we're gonna. So, of course, let's go ahead and get on into the big Pog Andy moment, which was, thankfully, Konami, right after we got done recording the last episode, decided to release a ban list right at that moment.
That is true.
I'm not going to sit here and complain about the ban list at all, because whether we got it early or whether we got it late doesn't matter. The point is, we got it, baby. That's right. We got a ban listeroonie. So you want to go ahead and discuss this ban list a little bit and see what we feel like? You want to go card by card, or you don't want to just talk about it as a whole or both or what?
Either way is fine with me. The interesting thing to note, I think it was Tombox that mentioned it on Twitter. I'm not positive on that. But apparently they moved exactly 25 cards on this ban list.
I saw that, yeah.
And it is also Yu-Gi-Oh's 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So coincidence? Maybe, maybe not. Yeah, probably not.
Can we get like an update like that? Like every it's the 25.1 anniversary. It's the 25.6 anniversary. Just every move a couple dozen cards every list. It's way more fun.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen a list this big since maybe the end of Toss format. Yeah. Either Toss format or maybe even Duelist Alliance was the last time we had a ban list this big.
Yeah, I want to say there was one last summer or something like that. The list that they limited Halki Fibrax and Shooting Riser and stuff, I want to say that one had like 16, 20 cards on it.
There's no way it had that many cards.
It may not have even been that list, but I want to say there was a... Was 2013 the last list that we had that was that big? One of your chatters said it was. I don't know. I'm inclined to believe chatters.
I think it was Toss format. Like, it was either Toss, like, when
2013
Salad
had one that was 50 cards.
Yeah, that was, like, around that time. Like, Dragon Ruler / Duelist Alliance, there was, like, a huge ban list.
So the September 2013 ban list was the one that was...
Is that the one that merged the, or like separated the ban list?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It was like almost right around 50 cards deep. And then Duelist Alliance was, Duelist Alliance debuted in August of 2014, so about a year later.
No, I'm talking about the one that like rotated out Duelist Alliance.
Hey, chatter in Trish's chat, if you want the latest deck list, it's !deck, I believe is what the one that it is.
You are so petty for taking time out of the podcast for that. The podcasters are going to have no idea what you're talking about. They're going to have no idea what has just happened.
You know what, though? I feel in on the joke now, and it makes me feel really good. Okay, well, yeah, the people listening on Spotify are just clueless about that guy getting banned. But let's go ahead and check out the actual list. So first things first, Agito, the Ancient Sentinel, as well as Kelbeck, the Ancient Vanguard, banned, baby. This is...
Miller's gone.
Let's go. Lightsworn Players mauled. This is a good thing.
Lightsworn Players, I mean, this is a tier hit, but there is Lightsworn support coming out.
It is actually a tier hit, you're right, but I made a bet with a friend about the Lightsworn stuff, so... That's what's on my mind. Did you hear about this? I put it on Twitter.
No, I didn't hear about this, but to me, this hit doesn't even feel like really a hit that's that surprising, because this was the hit that we got in Master Duel like months ago for the Millers. And something I've noticed is that Master Duel seems to weirdly be influencing like the ban list.
I've seen that too.
And that kind of comes up with our next card, which is MathMech Circular got banned.
Which is also weird.
Yeah, because nobody was playing MathMech. But it got banned. It's banned now. But it's really funny because MathMech is kind of like public enemy number one in Master Duel right now. Because it won like three MCSs back to back to back. And everybody's just complaining about it because, you know, Circular's at three. They have all the firewall stuff now. So that deck is doing really well in Master Duel. And it gets hit in the TCG. So something's weird about that.
It is weird. It would have been funnier if they banned Diameter, but it is weird.
Put Diameter to one for the culture.
I mean, didn't they ban it in Master Duel?
No, they put it to one.
Oh yeah, that,
in Master Duel for the culture.
Yeah,
for the culture.
So I think that the tier hits are based and good. The millers, I think it's the shufflers being legal is fine. Definitely at one.
I agree.
People are saying you can peel them off, and I'm like, it's a bit soon for that. I don't know. Maybe not.
Oh no, I think they can definitely come off the list for sure.
You think the shufflers are fine at three?
I don't think the shufflers were ever really the problem.
I mean, they weren't the problem, but they were part of it.
Not really, because all they really did was just get you into the millers. The millers were the thing that was scary because they would just mill your whole deck. The shufflers, the only thing that the shufflers were scary for were like the Tyrolament mirror match. And if you're not playing a tier match, like a tier mirror, shufflers are kind of fine. Also with Runic doing so well right now, the shufflers should kind of come back in my mind because like that's some of the best Runic counterplay that we have in
that
the game.
True.
So
that
anything that hurts Runic is good in my book.
So we need to ban the shufflers. I like the Runic cards. I think the Runic cards are cool and based.
Shufflers to six. Imperial Order to three.
Let's just talk about the next card, which is Isolde, Two Tales of the Noble Knights is banned. Later, Bozo. Thanks. This card sucked. It was unfun every single time it was ever legal, except it was kind of cool in the Makanko deck. But even then, that deck was doing unfun stuff, so...
Yeah, I don't know how Isolde dodged like eight ban lists. Like this card 18? Just is like not. Yeah, like this card did not deserve to be legal for like forever. Warrior being an FTK whenever you see it is just kind of much.
So what's interesting is there an argument that the generic power extra deck cards like Hauki Fibrax and Isolde and things like that, Electromite even, like stuff like that, are just like, is there an argument that those are like cool enablers and we should let them be legal for the combos and just let the combo pieces be banned?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is an argument for that. I've always been kind of like a supporter of that game balance decision that like some of the like broken extra deck tools, you know, they're fine because like it kind of puts decks on a little bit more of a linear path to where you know how to deal with them.
True.
But I don't know. At the same time, I think a lot of these cards have also had their run, and like it's fine to just rotate them out of the game now because they've had their time in their spotlight, and we can move on to new, better, more broken things.
I think Chad is right. I think it's probably actually getting banned, not because of Infernoble or because of Makanko. It's definitely the Exodia FTK. Jeff Leonard got this card banned, and nobody can convince me otherwise.
For the culture, I'll
Mystic Mine, Isolde. We can keep thanking Jeff Leonard. He's just wait. Whatever the next problem card is, everybody wants gone. He's gonna break it in a weird way, do an FTK on stream, and it's gonna get banned on the next list.
Yeah, Jeff is the harbinger of banning weird cards.
Jeff is gonna come up with like a D barrier combo deck that just recycles D barrier every play. I'm gonna get D barrier plant banned. Watch.
Yeah. Down.
Let's hope. So and in that vein, Link Cross can be unbanned, right? We can unban Link Cross.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Please give me back Link Cross. I'm sure I can be trusted with this.
Oh, Chad is so right. I just described Labyrinth. I just forgot Labyrinth existed. He doesn't need to design some weird funky deck that recycles D barrier. Konami did it.
It already exists. Yeah,
Konami did it for him. Oh no.
Activate transaction rollback. Target D barrier.
Oh god. Oh, kill me. Okay. All right. Overall, you know what? I changed it. Let's bring Chaos Whirler back. That would be funny. All right.
Oh yes, please. I can definitely be trusted with that. Please bring Chaos Whirler back. Please.
And Super Heavy Samurai Scarecrow. So what?
Calm down.
Calm down. What are we thinking about the bans? Do we feel like this is appropriate, good? Does this fix a broken format? Does this break a fixed format? What are we doing here?
I'm not going to lie. I don't really think this format was really broken in the first place. This format was pretty fair, pretty diverse. I think, if anything, what was broken about it is that there was just too many options. But, you know, I think that they're just using this as an opportunity to remove cards that, like, down the road could be a problem. And that tracks for me. You know, Isolde generic just makes any two warrior monsters into potentially a full combo deck. Aggido and Kelbeck just makes milling cards in general overpowered. And then Circular is not really doing anything, but so that one to me is a little bit weird, but that also to me reads like sometime within the next 6 to 18 months, they're planning on printing some type of really solid Cybers deck.
I guess I hadn't thought about that.
And because Mathmax Circular on its own is like 4 Cybers monsters just like for free, it tracks to me that like they might be getting rid of that just so that like it doesn't encourage people to throw it into every cyber stack that exists.
Yeah, I think that there is probably an expectation of we want to do more cybers things, but this is just the Electromite of cybers monsters. I mean, if it's even being used as the math package in Adagnister,
yeah,
not really the intention behind the card. It did what it needed to do. It made math mech good enough to top events, and it did, but now we've come full circular. Okay, so I had to. It was too easy. Sword Sold Dad.
Moving on to the limited cards.
So next we have the first limited card, which is a card that was banned, but now it is no longer banned. Orcus Harp Horror. How are we feeling?
Oh, that's the first one on your list? Okay.
Well, I'm on the actual Forbidden Limited list, and when you scroll down, it's the first one you see.
I gotcha. I mean, Harp Horror can definitely come back. That card's not going to do anything. It's been legal in Master Duel since Master Duel released, and I don't think I've ever played against a serious Orcus opponent once in my entire life.
Go ahead. I would like to direct everybody to the meme posted in my meme thread of Willem Dafoe looking up scared going Orcus Harp Horror the first time he sees a bestial.
Yeah, like the bestials existing now. Like maybe if this card had come out like 2 years ago, like maybe 3 years ago, maybe it would have seen some play, but this card is just way past its prime. There's no way it's doing anything like relevant.
Next card we have is Redox Dragon Ruler of Boulders. This card can go to eight.
I'm genuinely confused that this is the one that's like coming back third, because I feel like Redox in the TCG is probably the worst Dragon Ruler because there's no real good Earth targets to go with it.
I mean, that's why.
We don't have Maxi, so like there's no generic good target. Like the Earth stuff archetype that was good for a little while, like, you know, like with Black Dragon and stuff, like I guess that, you know, precluded it. Fenrir being a thing, you know, maybe precluded it. But
could you imagine Block Dragon being legal with Redox in Adamantipator?
Yeah, actually, it's called the OCG.
Oh, it's called Master Duel. I forgot. My bad.
No. We banned it finally.
Oh, that's right. They banned Block Dragon. I forgot.
Yeah, but it's legal in OCG still, I think. They don't play it. they don't play it. That's kind of the thing with the Dragon Rulers is that nobody plays any of them. They just don't do anything.
So how long are we going to keep up this ruse of it's okay to unban all the Dragon Rulers for the D-Link players to just rejoice when all the Dragon Rulers are at 3?
You don't play any of them.
If they're all at 3,
I would never touch those cards and put them in my deck. They're all
really
awful. Yeah, they all suck.
That bad.
Yeah, they're bad. you just have better cards to play. Like, I'm not gonna put in a random level Sinnoh Garnet that like is a neg two at best.
That's crazy to me. As someone who like, so for context, I started playing the game at like a competitive level just before or just after Edison format. Okay.
Yeah, and like these cards were crazy back then.
Right.
Because like,
I remember
when
they came
out
and literally completely changed Yu-Gi-Oh! Forever. Literally, Yu-Gi-Oh! Hasn't been the same since. When these cards came out, that was the start of the modern era of Yu-Gi-Oh! Bar none. There's no question. It wasn't Duelist Alliance. It was Lore of the Tachyon Galaxy. And so for me, seeing these cards peeled off the ban list, I still have that moment in my head of, whoa, these cards are scary.
So, I think the truth is that these cards could have come back like 4 years ago and still done nothing. Because if you think about what Dragon Rulers did back in the day, they summoned two Draco Sacks and passed. That's like not even an end board.
Yeah, like, I know it's not an end board in modern day Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't know, man. So, I just think that throwing that many bodies on boards, especially dragons, and then make them all level 7/2. What if there's like a weird Dragon Ruler Kashtira pile that we've seen? You know what I mean?
No. People have experimented with that stuff in Master Duel, and it's garbage.
Really?
And like in Master Duel, they also have Auroradon legal, and they have the rank 7. What's it called? The one that summons a bunch of tokens.
Oh,
Tomahawk. Galaxy Tomahawk.
Yeah,
and it's still terrible. The deck is still just unplayable garbage. Even That's with crazy. Like two more like insane tools. So those cards aren't going to do anything. The only one that has any potential is Tidal. And that's only because in the TCG we have the Water Enchantress at 3. So the only one that has potential is just Tidal, because you can like Tidal, discard Water Enchantress, foolish any card in your deck, and then like banish Water Enchantress from graveyard because you're not taking that net. You're not taking the neg.
You foolish but, a like, dragon or it, you foolish a water?
I think it's any card.
Oh.
Yeah, Tidal's like a generic foolish, if I remember correctly. Might be any monster.
Even so, I mean, that's still definitely usable in something. Chat says it's usable in like water pile decks.
Yeah, like that's the point, is that
I mean, honestly,
yeah, it sends any monster.
Of, it's fine.
Yeah, I think Tidal is fine. The only reason why it's the last one to come back is probably because of Water Enchantress, just because she's a water and she can splash into anything.
You heard it here first, Konami. Literally all of the Dragon Rulers can go to 3. No problem. Although I still think Blaster and Fire King is cool. All right.
Yeah, Blaster is cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I like Blaster.
Not good, but cool. All right. Next, we have probably the first major meta impactful hit. I guess Isold was, but not like that much. But Rescue Ace Airlifter to 1. This is like a real like big boy hit, if I'm not mistaken.
Kind of, yeah. I think my take on Airlifter to 1 is like Airlifter to 1 is kind of a big consistency hit, kind of not, because it takes two starters out of the Rescue Ace deck.
Sure.
But like there's already starters that they could play that they just don't. Like they could play 1/1 now. Like you can just put 1/1 in the deck. You can put in, I don't know, like another copy of Impulse or something, right? Like there are other, or like you could play extra copies of the Diabelle Star Witch. But I think the real thing that's interesting about this hit is that it gives you kind of a worse resource game with the Rescue Ace deck, because there are fewer monsters in your deck that you want to summon in like the mid game and that you want to like get out of your deck. So I think this might actually be a bigger hit than people realize for Rescue Ace, because in my mind, Rescue Ace was already a very fragile deck, and was kind of teetering on tier one. I don't think it was like so secure in its tier one spot that like any one hit would just phase off of it. So I think that this is actually kind of a little bit more impactful than you might think.
Well, we will definitely see. I do wonder, people have been saying that the new Bonfire card coming in Phantom Nightmare is going to be a big boost to decks like Fire King and Rescue Ace.
Oh, it is.
So, I mean this in the nicest, least stupid way possible. Bonfire Search is a pyro.
I think so.
How does that interact with Rescue Ace and Fire King?
Believe it's the new Snake Eye. I think it's Snake Eye. It's like Pollux or something like that.
Yes, Chad has informed me it is a Snake Eye's monster. So I'm guessing it searches a Snake Eye monster, which gets you into the
and that one's
the Diabellstar package, which gets you into a level one fire, which gets you into either Pollux or Airlifter.
Something like that. Something like that, yeah. Poplus.
Poplus is the Snake Eye Poplus.
I'll just pull up the exact card text just to reconfirm.
Immediately. Oh, boy.
Yeah. If it's added to your hand except by drawing it, you special summon it. If it's normal or special summoned, you can add a Snake Eye spell trap from your deck to your hand. Then if it's sent to the graveyard, you can target a fire monster in the graveyard, place it in its inner spell trap zone as a continuous spell. So it lets you, you know, like, it searches the wanted engine, right? Which is your starter
is helping coming out to help us. So between the release of the new Snake Eyes Populous and the Promethean Princess, all of these things combined with the rest with the engine with the Diabellstar engine already being insane, now even so with when you combine all of that, Rescue Ace Airlifter going to one is not good, but
right,
not the end of the world either.
So the reason why I think it's a bigger hit is that it doesn't give you as good of targets to summon, like, from your deck with something like Emergency, or it doesn't give you as many cards to search off of Hydrant, like, in the mid-game. Because, like, if a Hydrant's stuck on your field, right, like, you could start your turn by Hydrant searching Airlifter, a normal Airlifter, and then you search Emergency, and now you've searched a card, and you have two bodies for free. Sure. Without that Airlifter to search, there's not another good normal summon in Rescue Ace. So it's kind of pushing you into searching stuff like Preventer, and now you might be playing like three Preventer and summoning Preventer constantly. It just makes the deck a little bit weirder. And what I think the real consequence of that will be is that Fire King, which also benefits from the Bonfire support, Fire King might be in a better it might be in a better position than it would have been if Rescue Ace hadn't had this hit,
right?
Because it would have had to compete with another obviously good fire deck. That said, though, I think Rescue Ace isn't going away for a while. Like, I think the deck is still doing fine. I just think it might see a little bit more competition and like
Chat says, doesn't it help to keep you off HQ, which destroys the grind game?
Yeah, it does.
So that's another point against Rescue Ace here.
Yeah, like you're gonna have to start searching your HQ faster to like keep drawing.
And now you're more prone to one hand trap losses. Chat is really coming in with the info here. I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
Next we have Unchanged Soul of Sharvara being limited. This is, from what I understand, a pretty big hit to the Unchained deck, because now you cannot end on your end board with a Sharvara underneath a Caesar as well as one in hand, which was pretty normal. Now, kind of need to make that decision, which I think every time you're going Caesar there. But even so, not having the Sharvara means that the Unchained deck takes an extremely large hit. I don't think it's nearly as good as it was, but also, you'll still see Unchained as a splashable engine in some of these Fiend decks. Like, you started to see Labyrinth Unchained gaining some real steam. And obviously people like Skyhawk, who, by the way, I forgot to mention, we're halfway through the podcast. Skyhawk isn't here because it's Christmas time. He had family come in. He was playing a large Unchained package in Fluffle. So I think that when you have that splashable Fiend package, it's still going to be very playable. A lot of them were only playing one anyway, but in the pure Unchained deck, this is a pretty big hit, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. And one of the big things that, I think about is that it now makes like, now that it's at one, it's pretty safe for you to just imperm tour guide, because like the thing that you always had to think about before was like, if your opponent normal summons a tour guide against you, obviously you want to hit that, right? Right. But you don't want to hit it because you know that Shavara is at three, and it can just, they can just chain Shavara, pop the tour guide, and then you're super punished. Now it's much safer because it's a one of, so it's right. Like the chance that they draw it is
slim,
way less than it was before.
It goes from like, what, 33% to like 10.
Yeah. 12. So like a 23% loss of consistency.
Yeah.
Is pretty big. So having your tour guide, like having the starter get impermed, is devastating for the Unchained deck. So I don't know. I think that deck's going to fall off pretty fast. I think it's still like playable, but like, I think it's going to fall off pretty quick.
So for those thinking, well, Rescue Ace is falling off, Unchained's falling off, maybe I'll pick up Plants. Boy, do I have bad news for you. Next, we have Sun Avalon Dryas and Sun Avalon Healer. These two hits are 100% due to Jess Robinson. Thank you so much for doing this. Now, thanks to your efforts, Jess, I still don't have to read any of the Rico or Sun Avalon cards, at least not until the new support comes out. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. Summon Avalon Dryas, the main link one being limited, is huge. It's funny because these cards are not something that 2 years ago, you never would have said 2 years ago, like, hey, this deck is going to get zero extra support from here for 2 years, and these cards are going to get hit on the ban list. Nobody would have ever said that. But this deck is legitimately insane. So to have both, well, it's both of the link ones, if I'm not mistaken, have been hit. A lot of people wonder, well, why not hit Aroma Seraphie Jasmine here? That's always been the where you hit the deck, and it always will be where you hit the deck. Why not hit that card? Because with all the Aroma Seraphie cards, or I'm sorry, Aromage cards being released, I think in Phantom Nightmare, we have a new round of support coming out for those cards. So I feels kind of like they want to keep that intact for the deck, but only having one Dryas is brutal. The healer limit is kind of weird, but only one Dryas is just...
I think it makes sense. So one thing that's interesting about this is that this allows for Dandelion to potentially come back.
Think so?
Because unlikely, but potentially. Because with multiple Dryas and healer, Dandelion was a one card FTK, where you could just normal summon it, link it off into like Dryas or healer. You summon two tokens, you go into Jasmine, and then you summon another Dryas and healer underneath you using the tokens, you get your search off, you get, the tribute, and then you could just go into like some goofy lines with, I don't remember what it was, but there was like some goofy FTK that you could do with just normal summon Dandelion and get you the whole like the whole way. But you would have to go through multiple of the link ones to do it.
So one of each isn't enough. You need like at least two of each.
Right, something like that. Okay. So potentially with these hits, like they can think about bringing back plant monsters that have like graveyard effects. Because to me, that's what this looks like. They're stopping you from infinitely abusing plant monsters that have graveyard trigger effects in decks that are not named Sun Avalon. That's what it looks like to me. I thought that these were kind of weird because like the Rika deck is like solid, but it very rarely does much of anything.
Right.
So again, this is another one of those hits where I look at it and I say they are probably looking at releasing a card that these cards would be a problem with, like in the near future.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we have all the Aromage support coming out in the next like in the next set in Phantom Nightmare. So
right.
There you go. I mean, there's, and then again, a reason that they don't hit Jasmine, because everybody believed that limiting Jasmine was probably the key. Not what happened. We'll see. Right. Maybe this means Glow Up Bulb can come off the list.
Yeah, I think Glow Up Bulb could probably come off the list. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. So next we have Ib, the World Chalice Justiciar. So why is this card crazy? Because I never played with this card. Why is this crazy?
So this is a Dragonlink card, funnily enough. So the original version of Dragonlink was a deck that was transitioning out of being Thunder Dragons and was playing stuff like Draconet and Galaxy Serpent to make Ib the World Chalice Justiciar, because it can search any card that says the word World Legacy in it.
So search Guard Dragon, you said?
Exactly. So it would search Guard Dragon, and what was cool about it is, like, you would... There was some interaction to... I think it can summon, like, the actual Guard Dragon, like the level one from your deck.
Right.
When it leaves field or something like that. There was some interaction, but, like, it would just make the whole field by itself, which was crazy. But it's also a really solid generic card too, because it can search Succession, so it just searches you a monster reborn. So this is a really interesting card. And I don't know if this card is going to be a problem or not yet. I don't think it's legal in Master Duel, and I'm not sure if it's legal in the OCG. But this is definitely a card that, like, pops up in unlimited format from time to time.
Really?
Yeah. Like, this is definitely a card that, like, slots in during in unlimited format. So potentially a really strong card. Something that's, like, been kicking around in my mind, and I haven't, like, pieced it together yet, but I could see this card being potentially really good in combination with the Ringo Worm, the 100 Apple Dragon.
Yes, make my Ringo Worms be valuable again.
Yeah, because, like, something in my head is something along the line of, like, a O-Lion token plus the Ringo Worm makes Ib Justiciar, which then gets you either Succession or World Legacy Guard Dragon, whatever your deck is aiming to do. And then because you Synchro Summoned, you get the free token, and potentially you can even summon out the card from deck with Ib Justiciar. Like, things could get kind of silly with this card, and I just don't know, like, how we would get there yet.
The weird thing, though, is that searching World Legacy Guard Dragon just, like, isn't really...
Oh, that's broken.
It's broken?
That's so broken.
I mean, it was broken 5 years ago. Is it still broken?
Yeah, that card's broken. You get to summon back a dragon, and then you get to move a dragon.
It's Monster Reborn.
That's a Pisty for free. It's double Monster Reborn, because you summon Pisty, and then you move it. And then Pisty summons Guy back, too.
But, like, isn't Dragon, like, already more broken than that?
No. Like, I'm taking that any day of the week if you hand it to me.
Like, I know that it was used in Dragon Link back in the gap, and that's why it got banned. I just wonder, like...
No, like, that. It's still good. Like, that is still a good thing that you would want to have in a Dragon Link deck. And, like, even decks outside of Dragon Link can take advantage of this. Like... you know, you could be going for the World Legacy Succession just for a free Monster Reborn, or you could, like, if you're playing some new type of combo deck that we haven't seen before, do, like, some Pisty shenanigans, because you could just summon Draconet, summon Galaxy Serpent. That's already a dragon. So if you want to go for, like, three bodies, that's three bodies right there.
That's true. Well, these are all things you can do, and what we can do is move on, because I just realized we're halfway through the episode and not even halfway through this ban list. So, next we have Snatch Deal from 0 to 1. How are we feeling about Snatch Deal?
Traumatized. The last time this card came back, it was immediately rebanned.
2015, I believe, right?
2015 or 2014, yeah. Honestly, though, I think that this is fine. The one thing that's interesting with Snatch Deal over cards like Change of Heart is Snatch Deal can take control of Gnor.
Yeah, so you want to explain this ruling? Because everybody's been freaking out on Facebook about it.
Yeah, so it's Nora would be unaffected by the activated effect of Snatch Steal, but then the Snatch Steal changing control is a continuous effect. So it's kind of like how Nora gets negated by Skill Drain if they don't spin it right away.
Amazing.
But like that's never going to work because they're just going to chain and spin the Snatch Steal back to your deck. Like that would literally never work.
Back to the deck.
But right, right. Okay. So like you can just chain Nora and spin the Snatch Steal back, but you know, maybe you can like goober somebody and somebody who doesn't know the interaction just thinks that their Nora would be unaffected and they just say, yeah, okay. And then you just yoink it and then they call a judge and they get told.
And then
that
they call
no,
a judge.
Yeah, like they call a judge and the judge is like, no, that cat is theirs now.
That cat belongs to them. Maybe, they adopted that cat.
Yeah, like maybe once in a blue moon, something like that could work, but. That's really the biggest like use case in my mind.
When we get to the end of this list, you're gonna see why I'm just gonna build regular Sword Soul, take out all the hand traps, and just put in steal your cards. So next we have Gozen Match. Oh, and what's that behind it? Oh, Rivalry of Warlords. And another one. There can be only one, by the way. Choosing Tikaboo as the image for the newly limited cards on the tweet, whoever did that, genius. There can only be one of these in your decks. Genius.
True. We have reached the good ending. Floodgates are at one.
Literally, yes. Chat is correct. Goodbye and good riddance. Go die in a hole. I will admit, no skill drain, no anti-spell. Kind of cringe.
That's fine.
I'll be honest. I'm fine with... Listen, I will leave Skill Drain at 3 and Anti-Spell at 3 because guess what? They went from 15 Floodgates to 9. That's an improvement.
Something like that.
So,
yeah. I mean, Skill Drain and Anti-Spell 2 are like totally fine in my mind because Anti-Spell, you know, they allow you, you know, like they give you a turn. The only time Anti-Spell is really annoying is if you're playing a Pendulum deck.
Yep.
Or if your opponent is doing some goofy stuff like a Tri-Vair loop and they're just bouncing your cards back to your hand so that you can never like actually play them. But Anti-Spell, you know, that one's fine in my mind. And then Skill Drain, also fine because there's a lot of ways to activate monster effects under Skill Drain.
Agreed. So. You still have a hand, you still have a grave.
Yeah, and not only that too, but you can do like some fun interactions where if the monster leaves the field, Skill Drain doesn't apply to it anymore.
What would win? One Skill Drain negating everything on field, or one Vishuda? So,
or Book of Moon.
I do want to give my theory on why these got limited and no other floodgates that people complain about, like things like Droll, things like D Barrier, which I complain about constantly, things like Eradicator. These like lingering turn long floodgates and Skill Drain, Anti-Spell, none of those got hit. I have been saying for years that these three cards specifically, there's lots of podcast episodes of me saying it. I'm not saying this because MBT said it in his banlist reaction video. This has been my opinion for a long time. These cards need to be banned, not because of the floodgate type of their effects, but because they are unintuitive. How many times have you gone to locals, gone to a regional, any tournament, and seen somebody trying to understand the concept of these cards not letting you attempt to do the thing? It's stupid. Why are the cards clairvoyant? It makes no sense. If I tribute the monster away, I should be fine. If I link it off, I should be fine. But no, it's stupid. It's dumb. These cards suck. Nobody understands why they work other than Konami said so, which I understand there's real like rulings depth in the rulings being what they are. But nobody gets that. These cards can go die. They should be banned, but I will take this because this means they probably won't really be played, which I'll live with. But these cards need to be banned. Because they're a rulings nightmare. If we can ban Victory Dragon for it being a rulings nightmare, we can ban these for the same reason.
I don't think I've ever heard somebody describe these cards as a ruling nightmare in my life.
They are. Not to you. You understand them. Not to me. I understand them. Imagine the guy at table 300 at a YCS calling a judge. You know, think about how many judge calls are caused by new players not understanding how these cards work. It's a nightmare.
I think these three are pretty straightforward. Like, there can only be one I kind of get with that argument. But, like, goes in match, I mean, that one's pretty straightforward, right? Like, you can only control monsters of one attribute. Same thing with rivalry.
But to say I have a, you know, let's say I normal summon a Tri Brigade Nurgle. I can't link it off into Link Karibo. It's a different attribute. Why?
Yeah. Because it's a different attribute. You just answered your own question.
But I'm removing that attribute from the field and doing a different one.
Because you can still only control wind monsters.
I only have one. I only ever had one. It has to leave the field for me to summon the other one. You see now why we're having this debate and why people constantly...
I don't feel like that's real, but...
Are you serious? Really? Have you never seen this? Maybe it's because you're playing at top tables and I'm not. Maybe that's why I see this constantly.
I get it, but like, I also don't think that it's something that's hard to understand either. Like, you just tell some, like, the first time that happens, you're just like, no, you can only control, like, you're locked to, like, what you currently control. You can't switch off of it until that one leaves the field. And then they're like, oh, okay. Like, I think that's as far as the conversation goes.
I mean, listen, in my chat, a judge right now saying, judge, can I tribute my Empen by tributing my Rabina while under Tikaboo? Actual judge call from a regional. Pain. This is where we're at. Pain. This is why these Pain. Cards need to go.
Well, there can only be one. There can only be one I get. Like, the other one's less so.
They're the same thing. They're the same thing.
I don't really agree on that.
Oh, they're literally the exact same thing.
But what I hear you though. Like, I think that these are just
conceptually, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that that's really the reason why they would hit them to one, because if that was the reason, these cards would be banned, not at one.
Chat, the issue I have is Kaiju's on an open field summoning to an opponent's field under rivalry.
Yeah.
Also, just rulings, dude. It's just everything about these cards is stupid. All right. Regardless, we all rejoice that they're gone, even if we disagree.
We're happy they're gone. Yeah. Like, I don't think that that's the reason why these cards got hit, but like, I'm glad they're gone. I don't really care why they got hit.
I mean, it's a point against them, in my opinion, if nothing else. The fact that judges are having to deal with judge calls on these cards, whether it's something that like is understandable or not, the fact that it can even be brought up is reason enough. To me. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
You want to move on to the semi-limits?
I want to just keep rejoicing in this for the next 2 years. I mean, but we will. Next, we have Dino Wrestler Pankratops. This card's going from 1 to 2, which, yeah, like you said, we're on the semi-limits, I guess. And while we're here, also Speedroid Teratop from 1 to 2.
These are meta relevant. I mean, all three of the semi-limits are meta relevant.
Are they?
Yeah. Because Pearly Sleepy Memory is also at 2.
Okay, yeah. So that's definitely meta relevant. It makes it to where now, if you do, what is it, My Friend, you cannot guarantee Pearly Sleepy Memory goes to your hand. Is that right?
Yeah, they're never guaranteed one of the good ones. But like, they also kind of are. Like, because now they always just are going to reveal Sleepy, Sleepy, Delicious.
Sure.
But like, they're never guaranteed any specific way into Nor. So that's cool. You know, I don't really hate that, but just more ways to deal with Pearly, and that deck's kind of annoying. So
do we think that there's a world where they bring Delicious Memory to 2 as well, that way they can't guarantee either of them?
I hope not.
But they have,
why would they bring it up why would they bring it up the list?
Because if Sleepy Memory and Delicious Memory are both semi-limited, they can't do 3 ofs on either of them to search.
They already can't do 3 ofs because it's at 1.
I know. So why not just put it at 2? It's the same thing.
No. You're helping the Pearly players. Stop that.
I like Pearly.
No, bad.
fine. All right. Well, why? Okay. Everybody says that Fenrir is better than Pankratops. If that is true,
that
why
is, not
is Fenrir
true at, all.
At three?
That is not true at all.
Everybody's been saying that, it. I've had arguments about this and discussions about this.
They're wrong. They're just objectively, factually wrong. Like, that is not even close to, like, correct.
I've been saying Pankratops is better since Fenrir got released. And I have been ridiculed.
Pank has always been better.
Okay, I've been saying
don't
this.
Don't listen to those people. They have no clue what they're talking about. Pankratops can pop any card. It's a quick effect. It can be in any phase, and your opponent doesn't have to do something for it to do it.
And you know what I hear every time? But Fenrir searches Fenrir. I don't care. Pank is better.
Yeah, no one cares.
But
that Fenrir
Pank
is just sitting in your hand and doing nothing. Like, Fenrir is a fundamentally different card. They do not fill the same role.
I've been saying that for years.
Pankratops to two is very interesting, though, because we've been kind of missing these, like, mid-game kind of value trade type cards. So bringing it back to two is nice. Like, that's definitely going to see side deck play, because the one of Pankratops still sees side deck play. So two of Pankratops seeing side deck play is going to be very, very nice. Teratop to two also makes sense that they're just trying to bring it back because of Isolde being gone.
Wait, how does Teratop help Isolde?
It was limited because of Isolde.
Why was it limited because of Isolde?
Because of Goki. Because Teratop is a one card MX Saber Invoker, and MX Saber Invoker makes Isolde, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think about being a one-card MX Saber Invoker because Invoker's banned.
Yeah, it's not in Master Duel. It's legal in Master Duel now.
Okay, well, that'd be fine.
It's interesting that this is coming back. Maybe we'll see some rank three or some like link three stuff with Cherubini.
Is the Pank summon once per turn?
Yeah.
I think Pank to three would be fine.
Yeah, they're probably just like testing the waters with this. Like, Pankratops and Teratop look like they're just testing the waters and they're going to bring it back to three eventually.
Gotcha. I will say, someone in your chat mentioned it. And I would like to say, the Speed Roid Kashtira deck is very cool.
Aw.
Have you not heard of the Speed Roid Kashtira deck?
No.
So it topped either London or Euros. I think Euros. It topped Euro. It topped a European event. It got top 32. And they were on a tear. They were doing awesome. And the only reason that they lost in top 32 is because their deck got stolen before the round. And they couldn't come up with all the cards to replace it.
That's
top
crazy.
32 at Euros. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the reason that we don't have like the deck profile. We don't have all the like everything for it. It just never saw. I don't know. It seems like a cool deck. But this does help that deck. And Unlimits, Kashtira Unicorn to three also helps that deck. I think Konami just likes the Speed Roid Kashtira deck.
I have never seen that deck before, but it sounds interesting. I'm on board.
I mean, sounds cool enough to me.
I think Unicorn to two with Arise Heartband was kind of goofy in the first place, so I think that's fine to bring that back.
But Unicorn to three,
Infernity Art,
that's cool. I'm fine with this. I don't like the Kashtira deck, but Unicorn to three is perfectly fine now that Arise Heart's gone.
Yeah, Infernity Archfiend to three as well is interesting to say the least.
It is interesting, but no lawn chair, so like probably fine, right?
I mean, they are ratted firewall, so it's probably fine.
I don't know anything about Infernities, Archfiend, lawn chair, nothing. All I know is the memes. Gosh.
I had to play against this a lot in college. This deck can be goofy, but they had an unrotted firewall back then. So this is probably fine.
Sure. Control to three.
That's scary. That feels like a mistake. That does not feel like that should have happened.
Catch me at the regional playing Sword Soul with three Mind Control, Snatch, Steel, Change of Heart, three Triple Tactics talents. Like, Catch me.
That's really how it feels. Is like, yeah, they've kind of just said, you know what, you guys can just steal monsters again, like, we don't care. Every single time that's that great. Has happened in like modern Yu-Gi-Oh history, they have realized that that was a mistake. And here's the reason why I feel like this is scary. Nobody has been playing like Change of Heart, right? Like sometimes correct. You catch like one Change of Heart in a deck. But here's part of the reason for that. It's not consistent. Right. It was at one. So like you couldn't build a going second strategy off of the ideas like, oh, well, I'm going to steal your monster and, you know, run with it.
I call this deck Yoink.
Yeah, but now you have five Yoinks in your side deck.
Five Yoinks.
You got five Yoinks now, you also and have three talents. Yeah, and three talents that is optionally a Yoink. That doesn't feel fair.
Also, it's
that
really format dependent, unfair. But Brain Con is errated, but it's at three.
Yeah, Brain Control sucks, though, because they over-errated that card.
But in a world where people end on non-extra deck monsters on field,
which is every format, it's just too restrictive. Like, you would never pick that card over these other options.
I mean, it's just a normal summonable or settable monster on your opponent's field. Like,
doesn't have like other restrictions on it, like it can't attack, it can't be tributed, stuff like that.
No, I think it's just target one face up normal summonable monster on your opponent's field and take control of it.
You mean not normal summonable, or
no? It has to be normal summonable, so it can't be like a Link or a Synchro because they can't be normal summoned.
Oh yeah, then that's terrible.
Is it?
Yeah. Why are you trying to yoink a main deck monster? Like, you're only trying to spot remove like the scary cards.
All right. Fair enough. I'll give it.
Like, maybe Brain Control would be good if Monarchs were meta, but like, it's just not.
I mean, you said who has an end board with a monster that can be normal summoned? I feel like
Ash Tira, exactly. And like,
but I just said
those
you
are
said
not
every
the decks
deck
that you're like
I,
stealing.
You just said every.
But
deck.
Like, but those aren't the scary cards in Ash Tira though. Like, you're not trying to yoink a unicorn.
Why not?
Or a Fenrir.
You can't make you can't
because that's bad.
You can't stop me.
Because that's bad.
All right, Pot of Desires. Yay! My third collector's rare is playable again.
Yeah, I'm not sure why this card was at two. That was really funny.
Because that's the appropriate amount to play. But that's okay.
No.
Spellbook of Judgment three. This is fine.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Sprite Starter to three. This is probably fine.
Fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because they lost Elf. Elf was the whole deck. Like.
Yeah, that's kind of the sentiment that I've gotten from it, too. And Upstart Goblin to three. I think this is the most interesting move on the entire list. I don't think it's necessarily the worst or the best. It's definitely the most debated, I think, though. I think everybody just rejoices over basically every other move on this list. Mind Control to three, people have been like, I don't know. This one, though, has caused some heated debate.
I don't see why. I think that this is a sign of the times. OCG has never hit this card. Ever.
OCG didn't have Patrick Hoban.
Yeah, but like Hoban theory doesn't apply anymore.
I agree.
Like, we're past Hoban theory. So you're never gonna put three upstart on your deck unless you're playing Sky Striker.
I agree.
Because like those could just be three hand traps. Like, why would I cut three hand traps to play three upstart goblins? Like, that makes no sense.
Not only that, but the reason to play 37 card decks is because decks needed consistency in 2013. Now decks do not need that consistency. People now, not only do we not play 40 cards, we play, I mean, if we needed that consistency,
like
we would play 39. We don't. We play 45. We play 47. And some people just play 60 card pile decks because they can combo harder and not see their bricks. People are intentionally adding more cards to these combo decks because they are already so consistent. Why do we need to run 37? We can not see our bricks as often and run 45. And because of the amount of starters and extenders we're running, the math doesn't change.
Right. Because now
Hoban theory's dead.
Yeah, like the thing is, before, like, games would go on for more and more turns, so like you wanted to see certain cards on certain turns, right? Like you wanted to see, like, I don't know, a Cosmojo or something early in the game.
It was limited by
so that you sure like whatever you yeah, could you wanted to see some you wanted to see those cards though, right? Also, I think there was a format where Cosmojo was out and those cards were at 3.
Yeah, I'm open to being wrong about this. I thought Upstart got limited on that.
It was right around there. That's why my head went to it. I think there was like one format of overlap, maybe.
I thought that Upstart got limited when I was still playing the game, because we were, I feel like I remember us all going, oh, it's the Hoban hit. Oh, well, in like 2013, late 13, early 14, something like that.
No. It was the Monarch cards were out when these cards.
Oh, really?
Out. Yeah.
You know what? Sunny misinformation because counter rises by one. I'm fine with that.
Because there was the chicken game FTK.
I tried to play three Upstart and I got three,
yeah, like there was chicken game FTK for a little bit, like at the start of like that format where you'd play like three Upstart, three chicken game, three terraforming, a Monarch draw engine, and then life equalizer and magical explosion.
So that was a part of the reason that Upstart Goblin got limited, in addition to like the whole Hoban theory thing. But I do wonder, at what point do we have too many draw spells legal? Because it's starting to get like really easy to get really deep into the deck. You got Prosperity, you got Upstart. You can get
Don't forget though, a lot of those draw spells now have the
limitation.
Like, yeah, they have the limitation that you can only play one per turn, and they prevent you from drawing cards. So like you're never gonna put Upstart and Prosperity in the same deck because you. Upstart, draw into Prosperity. Okay, you can't play Prosperity.
Yeah, and we still have...
You play Prosperity, you reveal an Upstart, and it's like, this could have been anything else.
Into the Void is still, I think, limited. Is that right? Is it limited?
I think so. That'll probably come back pretty soon.
Yeah, Into the Void is limited. Upstart is at 3, but Chicken Game is still banned.
Yep.
What was the other one that's that does the field spell thing? Not Terra. Well, Terraforming is at 1, but there was another card...
Pseudospace copy Chicken Game.
Is that what they were doing? Is that Pseudospace?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's probably fine to have Upstart at 3. It's
definitely fine.
I think it's fine from like a theory standpoint, like because the combo decks are not too worried about this, but I do worry about it from like being able to go deep into your deck standpoint. But either way. Where is Skyhawk? I said that. I know it's not real content without him. I know.
No.
Skyhawk had family show up at his house at the last episode. He decided family was more important than the podcast. Boo, Skyhawk.
L episode.
It's okay. Like I said, we can handle it. So, of course, we want to thank all of our wonderful, wonderful patrons. So a huge thank you to Always Second, Little Earth Pigeon, Zyphorus at the One Palog, Big Stinky, Ding Dongs, Hostess of the Yang Zing, Gimme Some More, Drugussy Konami, HGH Cyber, John Lil, Mountain Man, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Place Pendulums, A Silver Hope, A Skyhawk Over the Beatles, Understanding and Reading are Two Different Things, Virtually Savior's World, Visa, Star Frosty, The Snowman, that's... I like that. But you know who didn't change their name? Visa Star Frosting These Nuts. Aaron Gardner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashless Chaps, Atsio, Simp of the Silver Castle, Blackwing, Silverwind the Ascendant is the best Floodgate, Blue Eyes is best Copium, Box Wine, Come On and Get Your Game On, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, Ice Jade will win a YCS before Swoo Swoo. I'm about to Rika Glamour, Tribute for Costies, Planting Nuts in Your Mouth. Not anymore, you're not. Level 4 Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Max C Pack, Old Man Red, Pinko 143, Sinful Soils, Sunny's Internet Gremlin, and Why Does Banning Circular and His Shape, or I'm sorry, What Does Banning Circular and His Shape have in common? They are both pointless. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode without Skyhawk, be sure to at him on Twitter and tell him how much you enjoyed this. So with that said, thank you all for joining. And until next time. Have a great one, everybody. Why am I banned from your chat?
Oh, because it's funny.
That's fair.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.